currently we have over 120 chaplains to elite sports throughout Australia. We have chaplains to the greatest game in Australia, AFL. Also to NRL, NFL, the NBL. A whole lot of other acronym sports out there. And so we have about 120 that are touching elite athletes throughout Australia. And, of course, Australians love their sport. Doug, as you're reading out those lists of sports, I just felt like jumping up and raising my hands and just getting so excited. Who enjoys their sport? Give me a wave if you enjoy your sport. Who doesn't? I was thinking all the wives are going before when Doug was saying, oh, great, you know, just more sport. That's just what we need. But now Aussies love their sport, of course, and since 1998, I've been at the Melbourne Football Club. And since that time, it's just been a great opportunity. I was pastoring in a church in Doncaster, not far from here at Doncaster City Church. I was 2IC at the church there, and I had a dream. I had a passion to really see God touch people outside the four walls of the church. The Lord was doing some great things amongst our family and friends in the church, and the cry of my heart was, Lord, I want to see you touch people that don't know about you, have never heard about you, have never had the opportunity to experience and know your grace and your mercy. And so I went on a bit of a sojourn or a bit of a journey for a couple of years there, where I was praying and asking the Lord for opportunity to get out, and I knocked on hospital doors and for roles of chaplaincy, or doing a whole range of different things. I was looking for opportunities outside the box. And I remember I got to the point of complaining a little bit in my prayers. Has anyone complained in their prayers before? God, why isn't this happening? And why isn't that happening? And why isn't this happening? And I remember I was complaining. I was doing a lot of complaining. And I heard just the small voice of the Lord say to me, Cameron, you're complaining. Stop complaining. Be grateful for what you do have, and don't be grudging what you don't have. Be grateful for the things that I've given you. So I just spent the next couple of days, just, I remember just at home, just giving thanks to the Lord. And there's a wonderful psalm that says, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll grant you the desires of your heart. And I want to say I experienced that as being true. I spent about 4 days just thinking of every possible thing I can give thanks to the Lord about. And I want to encourage you, if you're in a difficult situation at the moment or just finding life's a bit tough, turn around and give thanks to God for the things that you do have, not for the things that aren't working out. 4 days later, I remember it was exactly 4 days, because I get a call out of the blue from a good friend of Ray and mine, Paul Cameron, who was a chaplain of the Richmond Football Club. And right out of the blue, Paul says, how'd you like to be the chaplain of the Melbourne Football Club? And I thought, gee, there's two questions there. How would I like to be a AFL chaplain, and how would I like to be the chaplain of Melbourne? Because I was a doggy supporter, and I felt like saying no. the demons. One of my friends said, isn't it ironic that a man of God's dealing with demons? And there's some truth there. And so since that time, the Lord has just opened up great opportunities. For me, I just see myself as the pastor of the Melbourne Footy Club. And that might seem a bit unusual, but I'm their pastor, and they're my flock in a sense, and my pews are not church pews, they're change rooms with lockers and the seats that the players sit at. And so I had this picture of me just pastoring my community. And I think it's, I use that term pastoring a community, I believe that's a paradigm that's going to change over the years to come. We're going to have great churches like your church, like the many churches that are here in Blackburn and beyond, but I really believe there's going to be a cultural shift where we're going to see men and women, young, middle-aged, older, of all different ethnic backgrounds, are going to go and pastor their community. They're going to go into their community and love, care, and bring God's grace and God's healing and God's mercy into those environments. And so we have chaplains, 120, that do likewise. I was at the AIS recently, and the chaplains there have great rapport with a lot of the athletes and with the new athletes. and have great opportunities to pray for and see God touch profoundly these athletes and see lives turned around. And I reckon that's pretty good, isn't it? Do you agree? That's what it's about, seeing lives turned around. It's all right to get excited. In fact, I like people getting excited, because I was just saying to Doug, I said, I love footy, and I love... Who loves going to the footy? And who loves screaming their lungs out and getting excited? It's okay to do that. There's something very liberating about it, and I actually enjoy that about church. I reckon church needs to be even more exciting than footy, and the enthusiasm... and there's sometimes this conservatism in us that says, oh no, you know, we can't show disrespect, but God actually loves joyful singing and joy and happiness and all of that. And in fact, can I just let you in, the word hallelujah that we hear in all sorts of songs these days, and the word halal actually means to clamour foolishly. That's what it means, to clamour foolishly. And I reckon when I look at the footy crowds, they're clamouring foolishly. This. And I've been known to go like that too, and we can get excited in church and at things as well. So I want to encourage you to do that. And anyway, coming back to this is your year. Actually, before I do that, can I read out a few? I like my sports commentary. Who likes some of the quotes you hear on telly from some of the sporting commentators? There's a few classics out there, and I've got a few rippers here. David Coleman. Has anyone heard of David Coleman? I think athletics. He was heard to said on television this. He said, and here's Moses Kiptuani, the 19-year-old Kenyan who turned 20 a few weeks ago. another one by David Coleman. It's a great advantage to be able to hurdle with both legs. Anyone heard of Murray Walker? Yes, good old Murray. He said this, we now have exactly the same situation as we had at the start of the race, only exactly the opposite. Interesting one. Frank Bruno, boxing commentator, boxer said, I was in a no-win situation, so I'm glad that I won rather than lost. That's been in a no-win situation, isn't it, when you win instead of losing. Murray Walker, another one. The lead car is absolutely unique, except for the one behind it, which is identical. Good old Murray. Greg Norman, here's a classic. You might have heard this one. He said this. He says, I owe a lot to my parents, especially my mother and father. Last couple here. Alan Minter said this. This is my favourite, by the way. There have been injuries and deaths in boxing, but none of them serious. I haven't seen a serious, non-serious death in boxing, have you? And finally, Tony Crozier said this, the Queen's Park Oval, exactly as its name suggests, is absolutely round. There we go. Well, this is your year. Did you know this is our year? This is your year. A lot of people ask me, they come up to me pre-season, Ray, I don't know if this happens to you, is it the Doggies year this year? Absolutely. Any Collingwood supporters here? One, two. They are a dying breed. I reckon if they were winning, there'd be a few more hands up in the crowd. But, you know, if is it Collingwood's year this year? Absolutely. You talk to anyone from a footy team, they say, is it your year? They go, yes, it is. And people ask me, is it Melbourne's year? And I say, yes, it is our year. I just want to say that this is our year. This is our year. This is your year. God promises in his word that this is your year. In fact, in Luke 4, Jesus gets up in the synagogue and he recites, I think it's Isaiah 61, and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has chosen me to proclaim good news to the poor, to loosen the chains of oppression, to set free those that are in bondage, and also to bring sight to the blind. And he finishes up Isaiah 61 by saying, and to announce the acceptable year of God's favour, or the year of Jubilee. He uses the term there, the year of Jubilee. What's the year of Jubilee? In the Old Testament times, every 50 years was the year of Jubilee. And what the year of Jubilee meant, and it's really exciting, and I reckon we should institutionalise it here in Australia. But every 50 years, what happened was everyone who had a debt, their debt was wiped clean. Who's got a debt on a house at the moment? Give me a wave if you got it. Wouldn't that be good? Every 50 years, the bank says you don't have to pay anything more. I wouldn't pay my repayments until the 50th year. Anyway, that's another thing. But they would clear all the debt every 50 year, and all property that would return to the original owners. So if you lost property because of debt, all that property would be returned to you. And it was a time of celebration and joy. It was when families were reunited. And that happened every 50 years. And you know what? Jesus came and said, I have come to institutionalize it not every 50 years, but every single year. I have come to declare that every year is a year of jubilee, because God has come to bring freedom to those that are in debt. And there's nothing that weighs a person down, I believe, more than the debt of shame, the debt of guilt, and the heaviness and the weight that sin brings upon humanity. And Jesus said, I've come to bring, to loosen that and to bring hope to a dying generation. And it's not just one year, but it's every year. And so when someone says, is this your year? Is it Melbourne's year? Well, I'm going to say, well, I'm not too sure, but I think it is. And there are a lot of things that are uncertain, but there's one certainty for those that are in Christ Jesus, that this is God's year of favour for me. In fact, every year, every day is God's day of favour for freedom, mercy, grace, kindness, goodness. They are never ending, never ceasing. They are ours through faith in Christ Jesus. But can I say there's no reason, or there's no way that I could say that unless you have a game plan. I could say to the Melbourne boys, guys, you're going to win. In fact, I was thinking about Sydney last year. You know, they could have been told in the beginning of the year that they were going to win the flag. And they were thinking, whoa, we're going to win the flag. Yeah, this is your year. And they think, fantastic. But that's just no good just knowing that. You've got to have a bit of a game plan. It's so important to have a game plan. When you run out in life, you need a game plan. And God's got a game plan for every one of us. And it's found there in Luke 4. So, is this your year? A lot of people think, especially any Richmond supporters here. You got any Richmond supporters? No, you might. Oh, that's actually good, because I've got a few little AFL fine wines. A few years ago, someone sent to me, I think it was Ernie Sigley, sent around AFL fine wines, and it just describes different teams. And I've just got one here for the Richmond Football Club that I really like, so you might be able to relate to this. It's called the Richmond Hill Golden Black Label Shiraz, a bold, high alcohol variety that appears on shelves with a great fanfare every March, but tends to have completely sold out by September. Inconsistent texture that tantalises but always fails to deliver. Although recent crops appear to have more potential, and there's a warning on this bottle. It says, this wine is associated with high rates of alcoholism and violence. So you've got to watch out for that one. This one's for Ray. There is a dog breath. There's one for the Western Bulldogs, and it's called the Dog Breath Grappa. It says, this bottle of wine is best used for belting someone over the head with while they're not looking, more a weapon than a wine. So there's a lot of uncertainty. Is it our year? I just want to encourage you that this is your year in God. You can, you know, the Bible talks about God's presence and power being with us here and now. Faith is in the now. God works in the now. And we need a game plan. What's that game plan simply about? I think that game plan is about understanding that when we run outside of this room today, that we're not going alone. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He wasn't going out alone. The power of the Holy Spirit was with him when he went out. It really hit me when I first started as a chaplain at the Melbourne Football Club, the three G's. Do we all know what the three G's are? The girls? The gold? Not the three G's, not the three MCGs. There's the gold, the gold, the girls, and the glory. In AFL footy, there's a lot of glory. Is that right, Ray? Is there a lot of glory involved in AFL footy? The guys experience the buzz of running out onto a field, walking down the street. G'day, how you doing? And there's a lot of glory and there's also a lot of gold. There's a lot of money in AFL footy as well. But the one there seems to be a lot of are the girls. And I remember walking down around the tunnel underneath AFL Park when we were still playing there. It was about 99. And we'd just finished a match and I'd probably spent about an hour with the players in the rooms and I was leaving the stadium, and as I was walking around this tunnel around the ground, underneath the ground, I came around into a foyer area where there are lifts to take you up to the ground floor, and as I turned around the corner, there would have had to have been about a group of about, I'd say, 50 blonde girls looking around the corner for the next player to come around the corner. Who could it possibly be? And of course, I come around the corner and I'm just like, I'm in a world of my own, you know, just going da 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 da. And as I turned around the corner, there was this wall of them all looking. And it was so disheartening. It was so disheartening because as I come around the corner, of course, they all went, oh. And I thought, oh, all right, so I'm happily married. But there are plenty of girls. And so when players say, how can I work through the rigours and the pains and the pressures and the temptation? Rev, talk to me about my marriage. How can I survive the rigours of having an AFL marriage? And I want to tell you, it's tough. We have a great message that there is someone that goes with you on your journey. And that he's there for you. And if anyone needs to exemplify it, it's us, because we know God and we know his spirit and he goes with us and he encourages us. So the game plan is we go out there and we don't go out there alone onto the field, but God goes with us and brings us that victory. So is this your year? Absolutely. You know why it's your year? Because you don't go alone. God's with you on this journey. His victory is our victory. You know, he's the captain who went before us, who led the way, who had the game plan that God had given him. And can I say, his game plan is our game plan. Read that passage there in Luke 4. God's called us as well to go. He's chosen us. He's appointed us. We're on God's team. And I want to conclude over about half an hour. No, I want to conclude by saying that we've got one life to live, guys. We've got one opportunity to impact the world that we have and to bring Christ to it. Let us not lose the opportunity or the opportunities that God grants us. Let's trust the Lord. Let's dream big. I talk about dreams, you know why? Because a few years ago, I had a few hell... Who's ever had a hell of a year? You know, who's had a really bad year? And I had a few, we had a few, our family had a few years ago, and it was in the middle of thinking, God, what have you got for me? He said to me 12 years ago, Cameron, I want you to be a man of influence. And I'm thinking, God, I'm just a little pastor, I'm just a person out here in Doncaster, and I'm only in my mid-20s, and how can I be a man of influence? He says, I want you to influence influential people. In about 3 weeks' time, we're running at the Telstra Dome I think what's quite a significant event, because we're inviting all the sporting codes, all the heads of the sporting organisations, from Danny Cochran, Mark Peters, the Australian Sports Commission, heads of all the major sporting codes. We're inviting them to Telstra Dome for the launch of SLM. Together with Ray and a few others, we've pulled this event together, and I believe it's an event that says to the sporting industry in Australia, God is interested in people. And we've had opportunities to speak into people's lives, and recently I've been invited to speak at the Australian National Sports and Mental Health Conference, and I was just looking at the brochure the other day and it had Jeff Kennett's face and a write-up on Jeff, and Dawn Fraser and David Parkin and his face, and it had my ugly face there and a write-up about me. And I thought, Lord, I just thank you, because 12 years ago you said, I want you to influence people and to touch people. And now some of those dreams are coming to pass. And I've got to give God the thanks and the glory for that. But we're not to let go of the dreams that God gives us. He's got a plan for us. He's got a plan for you, for your church, the people to impact. Become a church that truly influences your culture, not just in the four walls, but beyond it. I just want to finish with this one story, this illustration. It's one that I love and I share a lot. But it's about a young man running in the marathon in the 1968 Olympics. And his name was Joseph Stephen Akawari. And Joseph Stephen Akawari was the last runner in the 1968 Mexico Olympic Marathon. The race had been over for about an hour. All the runners had finished. And in ran into the Olympic Stadium that was not lit up brightly. It was just dull lighting and there was a small crowd. As he ran into the stadium, his legs were bleeding and bruised and bloodied from falling over. And he exhaustingly just ran that final lap. And the crowd gave him a bit of a Bronx cheer. And as he crossed over the finish line, he just collapsed in a heap. And as he was trying to get his breath back, a reporter rushed up to him and said, "Joseph," he said, "was there ever a time that you thought you might have just bowed out of this race a little bit earlier? You know, down the road there, you're so far behind. I'm sure that the guy was thinking it was a bit embarrassing that he came in so late." He says, "Was there ever a time that you thought that you would have just bowed out gracefully out of the marathon?" And with a confused look on his face, Joseph Stephen Akawari turned to this reporter and he said these words. He said, "My country did not send me to the marathon to start the marathon. They sent me to the Olympics for me to finish the marathon." I truly believe that Jesus went to the cross and he started a work for us. And he started the game plan that he had for us. And he has every intention for us, his people, to finish that game plan. God hasn't just started a work in you. The Bible says in Philippians 1:6, "Being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you shall complete it." It's God's intention that his plan for our life is completed and is done. Can I encourage you to place your trust and give your heart wholeheartedly to the Lord in whatever that might be, in whatever area you serve, in whatever ministry you might have. Thank you very much. Thanks for this time.